Hello and welcome to Next 2.0 on WQLN NPR. I am your host, Marcus Atkinson. Next is produced by the Public's Voice Media. If you get an opportunity, follow us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram at Next 2.0 Erie. There you can see clips, videos, and posts about our recent shows and upcoming shows, and you can kind of stay in tune with everything that we are doing. I'm here today with special guests. I want to talk to all the people that are behind the scenes. In this first segment, you will hear me talk to Matt Harris and Tim Shannon from the East Side Renaissance. No, we will not be talking about buildings and grants and all that good stuff. You know, we will be talking about the holidays and family because this is the most wonderful time of the year. You know what time of the year it is. And then the second segment, we will talk to two of our interns, John Marcin and Chantel Rodriguez. I tried to have our third come on. She didn't have an opportunity. She's kind of tied up right now. Isabel Spires. Isabel was one of the first interns to really kick off, was the first intern actually to kick off this new season of Next 2.0. So, say all that to say, we want to give you some behind the scenes conversation with the people that make all this stuff happens here. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Brother Marcus. Looking forward to share some commentary with you.
All right. So let's take a deep dive into this application process. I joke. What did you... The holiday season, man. This is my favorite time of the year. I sang that excerpt for a reason, man.
Yes.
And I want to go back to... When I say the holiday season, I'm including Thanksgiving and Christmas because it's the time of the year that everybody feels good and things along those lines. You know, Matt, give us your take, man. How do you feel about the holidays?
I love it. And I'm kind of, you know, Tim's going to laugh, and you'll probably laugh. You're going to be laughing under your breath because you guys know how I do business and my 24/7 mentality. But Thanksgiving is a special time, of course, for family, getting together, and then going right into the Christmas season. I'm someone who traditionally love to give. You know, I get asked a question all the time about around the Christmas holidays. What do you want? I'm sure we all have that relative who wants to get you certain things or in-laws that want to do certain things. And I tell them nothing. I'm good. You know, Christmas is 365 for me. So it's a good time. It's good to get with family and son and daughter's coming back into town. So I like the season.
You know, when Matt says he's, before I go to Tim, when Matt says he's a 24/7 guy, I want to explain who this dude is. You know, you could be at the Thanksgiving table, everybody's holding hands like the Who's in Whoville, and somebody's in the process of, now let us give thanks to the Lord for making all of this bounty possible for the season. And just as you get ready to bow your head, here comes a text from Matt. Hey, man, how much they charging for that bill? I'm like, this dude does not turn it off, man. So when he says he's 24/7, he is not saying that trying to impress you all. That is exactly who he is. Tim Shannon, holidays in your household, brother. Talk about it.
Yes, it's this time of year, I love it. But before I go into my conversation, I want to say you that introduction, Mark. I loved it, but don't give up your day job. Don't give it up, brother.
I gotta get some effort for trying, brother. I'm trying.
We'll give you that.
A minus for that.
Yes, but yes. Holidays. This season, I love it as well. Being born this, you know, time of year, you know, starting with October, it kind of just flows into our Thanksgiving and flows into our Christmas. So I love this season. I love when that snow starts falling. I love how it, you know, just sits in the trees and, you know, and how it just covers blankets everything white. But I don't like the downfall of it, you know, when the blizzards and, you know, the accidents that come when it's, you know, when folks don't take their time, you know, driving in it. But this is the time of year that I just love, as Matt stated, that it's the season of giving. And man, why not? And not just in the season, but, you know, all year round. All year round. Absolutely. But when it comes together, you know, like a corporate giving, you know, when everybody has that there, that giving spirit, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, in our household, you know, that's, you know, we practice it year round. It's just a wife and I, and just putting smiles on, you know, the little one's face and putting smiles on people's face. you know, it just brings joy to our hearts, you know, and to our home. So this season, I love it.
Yeah, I tell you what, just let's start with Thanksgiving. I know a couple of weeks ago we had Mike Hooks on here from Michael Making Lives Better. Mm-hmm. And we talked about his annual tradition of feeding people and delivering those meals on Thanksgiving. This is how we start all of our Thanksgiving mornings. Yeah. It's a tradition in our household.
Kudos to you and Mike.
There
we
go. Yeah. Team Atkinson gets up in the morning, packs these meals with Mike, and then we deliver. And then my daughter, who's 17, she's a senior this year. We've been doing this since she was probably about 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. And you know, then when Miles was of age, he kind of aged into it. My 10-year-old son, my oldest daughter, was doing it before they went off to college and everything else. But this year it was nice because I think it was the first time I made individual deliveries for the effort. Usually I'll go to Friendship Towers or Richford Arms, something like that, and we'll have 30 or 40 meals. And, you know, when we go door to door. Like, we don't just leave them in the lobby unless there's a manager there and he calls everybody down. But more often, you know, we're taking them door to door. You know, Mike is pretty picky about that. Bro, make sure all these folks get their meals, bro.
Yeah, I can hear him
now. Mike Hooks. And so this time, man, he gave us probably 22 individual deliveries all over the city. So me and my daughter just kind of drove around, delivered meals, talked about college, man, you know. And it was, I got a chance to hear her heart on some things that she hadn't talked about. So bottom line, man, it is a huge tradition in our household. And then we hang out with the in-laws because, again, my family, my immediate family doesn't celebrate holidays, you know, it's the religious things. Mm-hmm. But the in-laws, we hung out with the in-laws. So Thanksgiving, Matt, what's the flow in your household or in your family?
Yeah, Thanksgiving is about getting up that morning, and basically it's head to Mama Harris's house and get it in.
Right.
Mom's been throwing down spreads, you know, of course, since we were tiny, and everything happens at Cleo and Emmy's household. You know, she doesn't want us to bring anything. She just says, come when you want to.
Yeah.
She's nothing formal. My mom's just always been that way. Probably why I'm as laid back as I am is because of her. And the food will be prepared by at least 12:30, 1 o'clock. And you can come and eat and leave if you got things going on. She's not picky. And we just sit usually. Family, a lot of family come over and visit, get it in, watch football, and just socialize and talk about catching up on things with family that you haven't seen in several months. And so that's pretty simple process, and probably a lot of people around have the same process. Yeah. But that's what happens, and we go over there and we get it in.
My man. Yeah. Tim, this has got to be a different wrinkle in there for you because you're in ministry. So I'm sure that there's some different things that kind of sneak in from the holidays for your household, I would imagine.
Well. Before I you know, answer that, I just want to, you know, say to Matt, Mama Harris makes a mean sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie.
I had the opportunity to indulge in.
Thank you.
This is when the host starts to feel some kind of way. I have yet to taste Mama Harris's sweet potato pie.
Well, I'm gonna interrupt you there, Marcus, because in the office, in the kitchen, in the refrigerator here in the fridge, there is a sweet potato pie.
Oh yeah.
That has been cut in several slices that Tim and I partake in, and so there are some slices in the fridge for you.
We didn't leave you out.
We won't leave you out.
I would pause for a station break, but I'm going to go ahead and finish the show and get me a piece in after the fact.
Oh, yeah, it's in there. Yeah. I got you. Team player I am.
Okay. He's redeemed himself, ladies and gentlemen.
But to speak on, Marcus, what you were, you know, the question asked, I would like to, you know, go at it this way because our household is usually traditional, like everyone else, you know, with all the festivities going on, the food and getting it in. But this year, the wife and I, we kind of broke tradition this year. We got to talking because we celebrated 14 years of marriage Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So and it usually, Thanksgiving usually just swallows up our anniversary. I said, you know what, babe, let's just fall back. No in-laws, no family, just you and I.
Okay.
Just one-on-one. Let's just fall back and enjoy each other's company. And that we did. And you know, it was wonderful. We were able to, you know, it'll help our marriage, because that's the goal, to build on our marriage. Because if we're not solid, we can't be solid for our family and our friends. And I tell you, she's an excellent cook, and she started cooking Tuesday, and I just smelt the love in the house. And she was cooking like if we were having, you know, folks over. And I'm like, you sure we're not having somebody over? and she just laid it like it was, you know, a normal Thanksgiving feast. And but it was, we kind of broke tradition this year and just went one on one and fell back. And it was like we weren't on anyone's schedule.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing we talked about. Yeah. You know, we don't have to, you know, okay, we're eating at 2 o'clock, be there at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
We fell back when the food was done. You want to eat? Let's eat. And that's what we did. And we were done, you know. I don't get in that tradition of watching football because the games usually end up watching me.
Yeah.
So I never got in that tradition. So mm-hmm. ate a little bit, slept a little bit, yeah. woke up and went and ate maybe a half a plate. And so that was the Thanksgiving in the Shannon's house.
You know, I got you.
This year. But I'm quite sure we'll go back to tradition with family and friends, you know, with the upcoming year.
I know that I said that my immediate family doesn't really celebrate Thanksgiving, but I got a shout out to my Uncle Joe and my Aunt Barb. You know,
hey,
my Uncle Joe and Aunt Barb were kind of like a second set of parents to me. And we started Thanksgiving there, so we delivered meals with Mike, and then we went to Uncle Joe's, and then we went to my in-law's house. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure my Uncle Joe might be listening. I don't want to get that phone call and get read the business. Let's transition into Christmas. And listeners, I want you to hear this clearly because I'm still boggled by this whole thing. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law, Pam Lego, and her daughters, Natalie Jewel, which is my wife's younger sister, and my wife, Gretchen. They are Christmas ninjas. I think there's some kind of special training. I said, was there a training at the North Pole that these? This thing is a work of art. And I kid you not, I mean, I'm being tongue-in-cheek, but this thing is a work of art. Coming from a background of not celebrating Christmas, when you can think about a high-end event that you've ever attended, and that high-end event usually has some sort of, you know, committee that handles all the arrangements, and they go through the budget, they go through the decorations, they go through who's doing. I mean, it is with that kind of love and precision that these women orchestrate Christmas for the family. It is a work. I enjoy watching it being a role play. Like, what you want me to do? You need to grab the boxes out of the garage, put the tree up. This is the day we put the decorations on the tree. It is phenomenal, man. Yeah. Gretchen is the ambassador of Christmas in our household.
That's awesome.
Man, it is a phenomenal, phenomenal time of year. And the way they orchestrate it in their households, and then they orchestrate everybody coming together, and everybody comes together, and it is just the best couple of days, man.
Nice.
Add to that the family fantasy football league, and everybody's arguing about who's beating who in fantasy.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I'm playing my father-in-law this weekend, as a matter of fact. And so he didn't have his lineup in. He's trying to psych me out. I'm not going to show you who's in my lineup.
It's serious.
But it's serious, man. It's serious, you know. So, but Christmas in our household, man, it did Miles and Amelia, our kids, and it is really special. To Matt's point, we really don't do a lot of gift exchange because in our household, it's Christmas is 24/7. You know, we're blessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and even with our kids, our kids don't really ride us. But I want this, I want that.
Right.
It's a yearly thing for us. You know, and so it really is about other people and family and extended family and all that good stuff, man. And it's a great time of year though. And so, you know, in your household, either one of you guys, who's the Christmas Nazi? Who's the Christmas ninja? Who's that person who's like, I got it. And Santa's calling them like, hey man, stay out my business. You know, who's that person in your family?
Yeah, my daughter Marlena, she's that person. She's been talking. Well, first, let me go back. She will tell me 6 months before her birthday, Dad, you know it's halfway to my birthday. She's one of those.
Not the halfway point.
Halfway point of her birthday every year. So she's that person that really starts setting things up, asking questions, getting the family into our gift giving and name drawing.
Yeah,
we do a name pulling because, you know, my kids are older and we're empty nesters. Melanie and I are empty nesters. And so we select a gift. That doesn't mean you're not going to get gifts for everyone else, because that's just what we do. We can't just pull a name and say that's the person. We go out and above and beyond and go get gifts for everybody. It's just what we do. But the thought process, like you said, of giving back. But that person, to answer your question, is my daughter Marlena.
Hey,
she's that Nazi that really got to get in there and make something happen. And I'm sitting there watching a game. Dad, you didn't tell me what you get Mom and this and that. I said, okay, I'll tell you later.
Nice.
So that's the person. Marlena is the person.
That's what's up. Tim, how's it flow in your household?
Hey,
brother?
For our house, hands down, my wife, Diane, she's on it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, But that's just her makeup. She's built like that.
Yeah.
You know, not just for the season, but she always like planning ahead of time. She does not. She hates, and I know it's a hard word, but yeah, I can say that. That last minute thing. She doesn't like pop up surprises. Mm-hmm. She has to plan it. You know, after Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, tree. It's time to get the tree up, you know, the Christmas tree. Ooh. And she's starting to decorate the house. And and I was like, babe, you want me to help you anything? I got it. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get out the way. Ooh. Sit down, relax, and get out the way. But she's always like that. And she'll start the cards, getting the cards out to people. So she'll give me the assignment. Well, why don't you just sign all the cards? You make out all the cards. And so that's my chore, or you know, or to do. But as far as the gift giving, she starts maybe in July. Mm. She'll start in July. She'll, you know, pick out. We don't have children of our own, but we have God kids, and this is where my ministry comes into play. We have children within our church that, you know, she's writing it out. Got to get this one, get that one. Yeah. So hands down, my wife Diane, she's on top of it. That's just, love her for that.
Now, you know, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of Christmas. And here's the ugly. If you take Christmas card photos with Gretchen Atkinson, you better smile on cue. Wow. You better turn your head on cue. You better make sure that you are sitting in just the right position that photographer asked you to sit in. It is. Me and the kids are like, man. I'm sure she's listening to this. She's like, Mark, that's not right. She is dead serious about that Christmas. Then she wants to see the proof. Let me see. Oh, no, take another.
Really?
Oh, man. And then when you see that final product, and you see us all smiling like a Hallmark card, me and the kids look at each other, we laugh like, if you only knew
what you went through,
went down.
Really?
To get that photo. Do y'all send out Christmas cards with your photos every year?
We don't. No. We haven't done that. No. Melanie, we haven't done that. The kids, because the kids are gone and older. Mm-hmm. And even, I'm not going to say practical, but I don't think that was a big fad back in the day of doing that. I think that's more the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
And we're empty nesters, so the kids aren't here.
Yeah.
So we don't really do that.
Yeah, that's the culture.
Yeah, and Diane and I, we're more or less words. We just like to send folks the words and the cards.
Yeah,
that means a lot. I mean, Christmas, I don't want, it's just us, our house. I don't want to see, you don't want to see my face on Christmas. No. I just, you know, yeah.
It is absolutely a culture that my wife comes from, because like all of the friends that I've met through her, this time of year, all of the photos start showing up in the mail, man.
Yeah.
These family Christmas cards, I'm like, I feel like I'm the only one who missed the memo.
We get them, you're right. We get them. We 10, 12, I'm like, wow. But we still, okay, Merry Christmas.
Everybody's sending them out, everybody's getting them. You know, it's fun. It's kind of, they're all taped up all over the place and everything.
Now that's
else.
Tradition.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a wonderful tradition.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, I know that when you think about 23 leaving and 24 coming in, transition real quick before I let you guys go and bring the interns in. You know, as you look forward to 24, what's going on in your mind? Like, I want 24 to be about what? I mean, no, you don't have to give us a hardcore goal, but an overarching theme for 24 that you want to see develop.
Just staying in the season, I really want to see the in all aspects of giving. You know, giving back and helping, and actually see the fruits of our work coming to fruition here in the community and where we set up shop, as far as the Eastside Renaissance and for the Care to Be About It program, for that matter. Really being effective for those unfortunate, less served, that can't do for themselves. And that's why we're here. That's why we set up shop here, to do these things. And so I want 24 to be going in from the holiday season of the giving and all these great things, and transitioning into some true, substantial, tangible giving and helping others.
Yeah. For me, on my personal, is to just carry the spirit, the season into the new year, to always count my blessings. Always. That's huge to me. Mm-hmm. To always show gratitude, you know, for how blessed, you know, I am, and my family and my friends, you know. And with that spirit, I think that's what gets me through each year, just to always hold on to that. And as far as any other goals outside of that, is just to continue being a team player in whatever I'm doing, to be positive and contribute whatever I can on whatever level, whether it's a small contribution or a large contribution. You know, if it's coming from the heart, it can be impactful. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be very impactful. So here at Eastside Renaissance, that's what I plan on to continue to do. The task that's set before me, to just continue to, you know, be the best I can at it, you know, while I'm doing it. And I know it will help improve the city and people's lives as well.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I agree with you two wholeheartedly. It is obviously a theme around here at 1108 Parade Street when you think about everything that goes on here. You know, we're all active members of 100 Black Men of America, you know, a mentoring network. And so in that respect, we pour ourselves into the lives of young people and their families. You know, Matt, All About Character, Inc., that from its inception has spoken into the journey and existence of young people and helped shape their outlook on life and their character traits. You know, and then you look at Eastside Renaissance, what we do with the Eastside Renaissance and everything that involves with that. And then just the community work in general. It's real for all of us, you know, and I can echo those thoughts. I want to say for 24, just for people to kind of understand the reality of need. I think that's one of the drawbacks of hypermedia. Stuff is in your face so much, you know, and everything is commercialized so much that you think that you forget that there are real people attached to these missions. Right. I know for Eastside Renaissance, we've come face to face with the real people behind some of the things that we're doing. With All About Character, you've come face to face behind, you know, with some of the real people. Even for 100 Black Men of America, you know, I've been mentoring kids for 30 some odd years, man, between Erie and Atlanta. And one of the kids that I've been mentoring since third grade is the youngest member of our chapter, 100 Black Men here. It is always about other folks. And so listen, you know, with that in mind, I appreciate all the work you brothers do.
Likewise.
I appreciate working with you every day. It's fun. You know, it's insightful. And just being able to come together as a band of brothers and say, look, let's get some generational work done. You know, and leave something behind that's greater than ourselves. So, hey, man, happy holidays to you, brothers.
Same to you,
same
man.
To you.
Yeah. Enjoy time family. With family.
Absolutely.
And that brings our interns in studio. And so here we have our intern who is actively engineering this show as he's speaking, Mr. John Marcin. John, I won't say welcome to the show. You've been here from the beginning. John, welcome to the mic.
Yeah, this is new.
And then we have the OG of all my interns, Chantel Rodriguez. Chantel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I've missed you.
yes. I call Chantel the OG because she was the first one to really jump on board and help hog tie the other interns from Penn State Barron. She's a Penn State Barron alum. And again, as I pointed out early in the show, we have Isabel Spires, who was the first active intern for Next 2.0 under Chantel.
Yes.
Chantel was who now works for WQLN. We'll let you unpack that. And she wasn't able to make it here today, but Isabel was a very big contributing factor to this new season. And so this, as you know, is Next 2.0. Why? Because one, we're no longer on just one time a month, fourth Sunday of the month. Now we are on every week, and we are on multiple platforms in the podcasting universe, Spotify, iHeartMedia, you know, Apple, all of this good stuff. And so I'm excited, and Chantel is one of the people to help get this off the ground. And so Chantel, without further ado, give us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What are you doing here? How did you get tied up with the public's voice in WQLN?
Oh, man, it's like yesterday working with you. All the time that I put in, and it was such a blessing to be able to start out with you and see where you're at now, just all of the progress. So it's amazing to see where you're at.
Nice.
Currently, I'm at WQLN PBS NPR. Mm-hmm. I'm their marketing coordinator and also their social media guru, as they like to put it.
Nice.
So I do everything from creating content to publishing it, making sure that we're up on trends, hopefully more trends that are coming up constantly. But yeah, I'm working full time with them, still have a family. See? My three daughters are growing. My husband, he's in his position. We were both, thank God, over with college. So,
because you were there at the same time.
Yes, yeah, we were both. He was at Mercyhurst, and he graduated first, and then I graduated the next semester. So
all while you had children.
Yes. I don't know if I would do it again to get my master's, but we'll see what the future holds. I don't know.
Got you. John, give us a quick intro. Who are you?
Well, I'm John Marson, and I landed a position at WQLN through Ron Raymond, one of our radio guys, so for Edinburgh. So if anyone's in the year, I'm doing a little plug. I'm sorry. I hope you don't mind. Our radio station, we don't get enough people, but Edinburgh. Love radio station. One of the names from our Edinburgh people came up, and I shot an application out. I'm like, all right, I'll put this in. Let's see where this goes. And now I'm here, and I'm like, cool, an internship. I'll take it. You're the only place to get back to me. So, nice. I mean, I enjoy what I do with you. It's great. It's fun. I enjoy it.
It's always a good time.
Oh, yeah. Always funny. Yeah. Always fun.
So why media? What is the thing that got you interested in media in the first place? Chantel, we'll start with you.
For me, I loved being able to hear the voices of the community, and that's really what I wanted to be a part of. I wanted to be a part of a nonprofit that is making a difference in the community and also be a part of that. I wanted to be a part of a team that spoke to audiences, diverse audiences everywhere. So being able to make an impact with people who appreciate public media has been the most rewarding aspect of this job for me. Mm-hmm. So it's been an amazing experience so far, and I wouldn't trade it in the world.
Charles, what about you?
I got suckered into media because I really couldn't. I'm not good at math.
Yeah,
I had a decent love of science, but I wasn't great at it, and my writing is horrible. So the the only thing I could do really is speak. Like, I speak well for what I do. So that's kind of how I kind of got stuck in what I am majoring in is strategic communications, which is basically just working with media. I could talk your ear off on that if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean that's why. It's the only thing I can really do is speak. And I did take theater in high school, and I enjoyed that portion of it, which theater was fun. Theater was always fun for me.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing I was just like, oh, cool, I could do this and I could make a living off of it. So that's how I'm here. I mean, in terms of speaking wise.
Yeah.
Again, not really good at anything else. So that's kind of the thing I will say to people. If like, you don't really like, if you want to enjoy speaking or reading a script or whatever, or editing work, there are many things that you can do mm-hmm. working with you, Marcus.
Yeah.
It's always been... Just starting now has been fun.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. It is fun with the conversations you have.
Good. I appreciate that. You know, I look at, and I want to say it was a PBS at the time, Tavis Smiley back in the day when he was, you know, public radio. I was a huge fan of Tavis Smiley. Used to love listening to his shows. On PBS, NPR Now, the documentary series Frontline.
Oh, yes.
That is the best series. I don't know the narrator's name, but his voice is the bomb. And everything from the music to the interview style, it is just so captivating. And so I've just always been big on, you know, media. When Oprah Winfrey came out, I fell in love with, you know, her interview style.
Yeah.
When Neil Bortz was out on the radio, I was a big fan of Neil Bortz. You know, I even listened to Rush Limbaugh a lot. You know, as I said, I don't lean one direction or other when it comes to politics. But Rush was fun. He was, you know, funny. He was intellectual. It was just a lot of fun. And so the medium in general, and to your point, Chantel, to watch the rise of social media.
Yes.
And now you have all of these people. You think people like Sean King and the impact that he's having. I'm like, wow. Nowadays, if you aren't engaged with media, you are completely missing the boat, right?
Yep. You're losing an audience that you might not get on TV or FM just because we're changing this whole impact of the digital world that's ever expanding. So you have to jump on board. You're just going to be left behind if not.
Yeah, yeah. John, where do you see this trend going?
I mean, if you want me to talk about the social media trend, I can, which I'm assuming that's what you want.
No, media in general.
I mean, media in general. I mean, you have streaming services now, which are high. So that's how you get like your voice out now. TV is slowly dying, radio is dying even more, which is very sad. I mean, you have podcasts, which are very big now. A lot of people nowadays, from what I see, even younger, I would say even for me, being 22, not 21, just the fact of they're always on their phones, and it's always the thing of, like, no one really talks to each other, which is sad. Sorry, let me go off into this tangent now for you. But, I mean, just the thing of media, it's like you had said, like, if you are not on social media, you're kind of missing out on things. Like, if you are putting something on, like, a podcast or anything, you know, someone's going to listen to it, and then you're going to generate an audience. Like, YouTube's big for that. Mm-hmm. I have a big YouTube guy, but I enjoy watching YouTube for, like, some of, like, the content creators for what I like. So you have all these things where it's, like, your normal things of, like, TV, radio have died off, and now you have your streaming services, which you have to pay for. And you also have your podcasts now, which are good.
Yeah.
Not gonna be like, your podcast is, you know. Let me not say that. Yeah. You're going to be like, I never want you back here.
It's all good. So give me an idea. Give us an idea of your goals in this space. And I appreciate the fact that you landed on WQLN's doorstep and with Next 2.0. You know, I know that oftentimes people have goals that don't necessarily include where they are right now. What are your overall goals with media?
With media as an overall, I'd say that we're really trying to expand on our audience digitally. So that being YouTube is one of our main goals, to really grow into that and get a different audience than the usual person that's watching TV, which is that older white demographic, you know, 50s to 70s, who are the donors of our stations, which we are greatly appreciative for them, but we also want to reach out to different audiences, diverse audiences. You know, growing up, my mom never heard of PBS whatsoever. So I want to be able to show her that, look, this is what PBS NPR is, and look at how it's growing, and you can also join in on that.
Yeah.
And then also to my friends who are 29 and in their 30s, they have never heard of PBS and NPR.
Yeah.
And the only thing that they know is Mr. Rogers or Arthur. And I'm like, I'm all down for it, but we're missing people.
Yeah.
We need to be able to integrate digital media into everything. Like I said, we need to be able to reach that audience and show the value of what WQLN, PBS, NPR has to offer.
Yeah. They can get down with Arthur all they want.
Yeah.
Odd Squad is my team. Miss O from Odd Squad is the bomb.
Oh, boy.
You ain't lying.
I love that show. I sit down and I watch that show today. It's funny. My wife was like, you're actually watching this. I said, it's entertaining. These kids are entertaining. John, what are your goals in this space?
Oh, boy. I mean, if you want to talk about in this space, it's kind of not yours. It's kind of like the polar opposite. I'm a big voice actor guy. I would love to be a voice actor, do things like, I'll shoot out some names which you probably will not know of. Stephen Blum, Nolan North, guys that I know personally from, like, what I enjoy, which my hobbies are a bunch of nerd stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of like what I like to do, as I want to do it as a hobby, and I think maybe this would be a great thing. I mean, even so, the skill set of doing editing for a podcast I think is very good.
Yeah.
And I take opportunities where I can. So that's kind of my goal. It's not to be like I don't want to be the giant, massive media influencer that's like, hey guys, let me post like my 10th post today. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy that. I find that social media has its place. I'll just say that for now. If you want more detail, ask me.
Yeah. Everybody has their own likes and dislikes and their own little niche when it comes to this particular area, in every area for that matter, you know. When I think about Next 2.0, Chantel, you made a point that is so true. You have a certain demographic that are responsible for a lot of donations.
Yes.
For channels like ours.
They're major donations.
Major donations. And then you're trying to figure, well, how do I reach all of these other folks?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when we first introduced the idea of when we started video recording the show and putting it on Facebook. That brought in a different audience than the fourth Sunday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So the fourth Sunday of the month was still that older white demographic, which I want everybody to listen.
Yeah.
You know, and then we started to get a different audience on Facebook. Now we have this Next 2.0 format. So you've got your show like this one that airs that fourth Sunday of the month. And so you know the people around town will be listening. And then you have those three episodes in between to go straight to podcasts. And boy, we act a fool with those episodes. Boy, oh boy, those are just fun. We let it go. And I know that they're the kind of shows that that fourth Sunday of the month crowd wouldn't necessarily care for or be interested in. But you're snatching in a different demographic. And so it's the best of both worlds. Yeah. But from a social media standpoint, it is tricky. Is that demographic even tuned into social media, according to your research numbers or what have you?
They are. And, you know, me diving into social media for the past 8-9 months and even prior to, I found that a lot of the younger audiences, that Gen Z and even millennials, they go to TikTok first to look for anything regarding like recipes or how-tos before they even jump on Google now.
That's a surprise.
Which is completely different from where we grew up. And it's like, oh, well, go to Google. Google has the answer. And now it's like, oh, well, check YouTube or check TikTok.
Yeah.
And I mean, now you see the craze of like the TikTok dances, but TikTok is so much more than that. It's becoming an evolution of knowledge. And it's crazy. It's crazy. But looking at it, people want to see, you know, public media. I feel like the Gen Z audience, they need to see what they're donating their money to. Yeah. What type of thing is this beneficial for? So that's where we're really seeing that change. And me jumping in on social media and putting the face of WQLN as our mission instead of just a person. Because I feel like that's where it was lacking before, where it was just that one person, but that's not your mission. The mission is the people, the community you're around. So it's been hard changing it, but I think we're on the right path now. Mm. So,
yeah, John, are you using any of these mediums for your voiceover goals?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I'm waiting. I'm still in college. I'm waiting until college is done and I have more free time.
Social media is a lot of work.
It is. Oh, it is. Yeah. How old do you feel yet? You feel old yet?
Oh, yeah, I am 53, and when it comes to social media, I feel 73. I feel like, you know, those commercials, those insurance commercials about are you turning into your parents?
Yes, yes.
You really need 48 photos for
that. And it's like, yes, yes, you do.
When it comes to social media, I feel like that TikTok, social media moves so fast, it's almost intimidating. And I love media. I have yet to mess with TikTok because I'm like, I can't. There's no way in the world I can keep
up.
It's
a whole new beast.
Like, by the time I post something, you know, it'd be like, okay, I'll see you guys in another 2 weeks with another post. They're like, 2 weeks? We need another video tomorrow. It's too much, man.
It is. It's time consuming, and I didn't realize it until we started doing a TikTok. And I was draining myself out, and even my other colleague, we were both like, well, what's something that we can do? And it's just like, let's take a break for now because we're not seeing as much, and we need to be able to focus on our other social media accounts.
Yeah.
And maybe put TikTok on the burner for now, but periodically you'll see some posts.
Now, John T, you talk about age. All of us old folks are on Facebook.
Oh, yes. I know.
That's what
it
is.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
It's funny. It's funny that you say that. It's like for me, because I'm like, what I'm on is just Instagram anymore. That's what I scroll on.
Yeah.
I don't do TikTok. I have friends that do TikTok and everything. And I'm just like, I don't care for it. I'm bored out of my mind and everything. And like, I used to have Facebook. I used to do Facebook and that was it. But like you had said with social media, it is a hard road to just power through with all of them, with Twitter, with Instagram, with Snapchat, with TikTok. It's all just this. God, gotta put it out, gotta put it out. You have to balance it. It's hard.
Even now, it's like Twitch streamers are moving into the world of TikTok, and it's mind-blowing to me how much gaming, I mean, I'm a gamer myself, but to dedicate the amount of time that these people do, I'm like, how?
Yeah. And this is why I'm so grateful that Bill and Aaron at WQLN, you know, were open to the idea of interns. We all sat down with Tom New when he was here, and we talked about and it kind of gave rise to Next 2.0, and that was my point. Like, I can't produce a weekly show unless I have help.
Yeah.
It is just, it's
you
too much.
You need it.
You can't do it on your own.
You cannot. And like I've got it, you know, we're in the studio now in my office. I'm like, I can supply the studio and it'll be decent quality. It won't be WQLN quality, it'll be decent quality. And so that makes it easier, but I can't do it by myself. It's too much. You know, with the Facebook and the older people, my father, who's 73, is on Facebook a lot. And it is funny, he went months with posting in all caps. And we kept trying to tell him, like, Dad, that's when you're being aggressive or you're yelling. It's, oh, is that what that means? I was wondering why people kept asking me about the art. Yeah, this, you might want to lower the caps. People think that you're lamenting or you're ranting when you got all caps.
Use some lowercases.
And now he's just now learning the trick of lowercase, capital, all caps, whatever I'm serious, you know. So when I think of home, H-O-M-E, big cap, it's funny. But so now, with this holiday season, John, what's the holidays like in your household?
Oh, man? Boy, this is fun from what I just listened to from a bit ago. My holiday season is my mother is very big on every holiday ever. Mm. So it goes all the holidays. It will go like October, it will be Halloween, and then, oh my God, what is the Spanish one? I completely forget how to say the Spanish one. I hate this now.
Which one?
The one completely November. It's in November. It's in the first part of November, November 1st. Anyway, but that one, and then it will always be Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, always. She will decorate for Thanksgiving, and then she will cook. She will be like, here's leftovers. Go home with leftovers. Get them out of my house. It's just me now.
Yeah.
And then right after it is decorate for Christmas.
Yeah.
She does it because she doesn't want it. She hates the snow. She hates the cold. She doesn't hate the snow. She hates the cold. So we have to get it done before the first snow.
Yeah.
So, and then we just decorate for the holidays, and the tree stays up for the entire thing of Christmas. And Christmas in our household, like you had talked about originally, it's not about gift giving for our household. It is just about family.
There you go. Yeah.
It's just about family. That's my, I just had the talk with my good old mom that she was just like, Christmas now to her, and I kind of see it too, is that Christmas has become just gift giving. Mm-hmm. You have to give gifts to someone. You have to buy someone something, mm-hmm. where it's just like, you don't see it. I just bought a bunch of gifts for my family, but it's something that I thought of.
Yeah.
So it's the more thought that's put into it and a family thing.
What's the situation with you and siblings? You're only child? You got siblings?
I have an older sister.
Okay.
She's in Pittsburgh. She's doing food stuff.
Gotcha.
Bakery. That's it. So yeah, I have an older sister. She's, oh God, how old is she? 30? I think she's 30. So I'm fairly young, but I mean, yeah, I seem like an only child. I'm not.
Gotcha. And Chantel, this has to hit different because you're a wife, a mom.
Yeah
that really, you know, has to hit differently than what I have.
This like lands at your feet. What is that? What's the holidays like at your house?
Oh man, they're crazy.
They will get better.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, lately for the past few years, you know, with COVID and all that, they've gotten calmer. So it's more so, you know, we're going to one person's house, and that being my brother's, my older brother. And we go there, we relax, we have food. And the holidays mean so much more to me now than they did when I was younger because of that whole gift giving. Like, you're anticipating a gift, you're waiting to open it. And now I'm like, I hope that I get to spend another year with this family member. And, you know, with all of the death that has happened within my family and my husband's family, we've become so much more appreciative of the time that we do get to spend for the holidays, and we make it so much more of a point to be like, hey, let's go somewhere to be with our family, and let's have that party, let's do that get together, let's do that dinner. So the holidays for me and my daughters and my husband, we make sure to make it a point, like, we're gonna go see our moms and have their grandmothers there, because we don't know when they'll be gone. And my daughters love it. I mean, they love the whole gift giving thing and receiving gifts. Like, that's what's on their mind. But they've become more appreciative of spending time with their grandmothers. So I'm just glad that we still have our moms here to appreciate that holiday time.
Yeah. I've got a lot of relatives. I mean, at my age, a lot of family and friends that have lost their parents.
Yeah.
I've got both my in-laws. I've got, you know, all three of my parents, with dad and a stepdad. You know, I've got my aunts and we're really blessed in that way. And so I think about that every single year, because it seems like every year somebody close to me, they lose their mom, they lose their dad. And, you know, losing a relative is one thing. But boy, when moms and dads, those are big categories. Mm-hmm. And that those kind of deaths change people's lives.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
They do.
So you're right. Like, you're here. We are cherishing the fact that you're here and we're all here together. And that, you know, you can't put a price tag on that.
No.
Right? That is a good thing. Let's transition back into media real quick. I want to, as we go into the 2024, the impact of media, public media, social media, all of it, on society. Let's talk about that a little bit, because as I think about our space here and even in my own personal media habits, I think about that, you know, how it shapes the world around you.
Yeah.
Right? You know, John, speaking to that, give us your perspective on the impact that all of these mediums are having on the day-to-day affairs of people here, abroad, around the world.
Oh, boy. You're going to have a long conversation with me now. Because my outlook on the whole social media perspective is that it is a blessing and a curse, because it's a blessing because you can find anything you need ever, and you can look up anyone you want. The problem is that now I see it more as I have gotten older. Not that old yet. God, look at me. Anyway, but just the way it is that you always, my mom, I will always talk about my mom because she's my lifeblood at this point.
Okay.
So sorry, you're going to hear this a lot.
All right.
But just a blessing and a curse again for social media. Because of the fact that, yeah, you can find anything and it's great. The curse is that you get, it's people. It's just people. And people, like, will go to social media and just be negative a lot of times. You see that more now. I'm a big movie guy. I'm a big comics book guy. And you see that a lot with movies. Whereas, like, something will be posted about a movie and someone will just bomb it of hating it and it sucks.
Yeah.
And there's, like, A lot of the trends now that I have seen from, like, YouTube and the other thing is promoting positivity, which is great, which we need more of, which I will always advocate for more positivity and taking it over the course of the negatives. But social media, I feel, in the grander scheme of things, minus, like, your news outlets and everything, but, like, your general person being a journalist can post anything in an opinion, but it's almost always negative. Mm-hmm. You do get the occasional positive things, which are great. And that's kind of my outlook on social media, which is why I kind of just avoid it like the plague sometimes, because it's one of those things I look at and I go, okay, is this your opinion? Is this a fact? What is this exactly? And I kind of stay towards the semi-like-minded opinions, but I will listen to difference of opinions, which is a good thing people should do, is listen to difference of opinions.
That's right.
Yeah. I will say that a lot.
Mm-hmm. I look at this thing from and I can echo a lot of those sentiments. I look at it from a social justice standpoint. You know, we talked about the Children's Crusade on the show before in 63, and how when images of that came out, it just didn't sit well.
Yeah.
You know, President Kennedy especially, it was like, I don't like the idea of kids and dogs sicked on them and hoses and 5,000 plus of them getting locked up. You know, I think about the Arab Spring. I think about when you look at South Carolina, you know, Walter Scott, who was gunned down by an officer, Michael Slagle, and he had no idea somebody was filming him, you know, and is doing 20 plus years now. In that respect, and even as I talked about Sean King earlier, I mean, Sean King has as much influence as, you know, Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
And he's all social media, right? And so in that respect, it levels some playing fields, right? The abuse comes in with a lot of what you talk about, John. It can be assessed. It's one of the reasons why there's a social media platform that I'm not on anymore. I won't say which one it is because I don't know if our network can get in trouble for it. That has just turned into kind of a cesspool, and I'm like, I'm out of here.
I can imagine what it is.
We peaced out also.
Right.
I can imagine what it is.
Right. I'm like, I'm out of here, because it actually feeds into, you got some negative, you have something that's detrimental to society. Bring it. Bring it. I'm like, I'm out. But so I look at that, and that to me be it negative or positive, it's powerful, man.
Oh, it is.
It is powerful. Chantel, the impact from your perspective of just media on society, what are your thoughts?
Man, like you said, it's powerful. And even with PBS and NPR, we're telling all sides of the story.
Yes.
So it's not just one side.
Yes.
This is it, or the other side. We're very much out of that playing field that other networks really thrive off of. You know, whether it's positive or negative, and mainly it has been negative. With everything that goes on in this world, there's always something new every day. So as far as for the social justice aspect of it, social media can be a powerful tool, just like Sean King has used it. And there's so many people that speak negatively on Sean King.
Yeah.
And he pulls out receipts. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite part about Sean King, is that he's able to back up what he says, at least for my knowledge and what I see that he puts out there. He does help a lot of people. So we're hoping that this social media world, the digital world completely, we're able to impact it positively, but also give the voice to the community.
Yeah.
To use this public media platform that's for them.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much paid for by them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all a good thing depending on how it's used.
Mm-hmm. I did a promo for WQLN one time, and it was asking about the importance of public media. Mm-hmm. And I can't recall how I said it, but to your point, Chantel, when you talk about giving information that falls on either side of the aisle,
yeah,
that falls on anyone's personal sensibilities, I actually think as time goes on, public media will get stronger because it is not the slanted viewpoint of,
yep,
a CNN,
yep,
or a Fox News. Everybody has an agenda,
yeah,
which is why I like Frontline. Just give me the facts,
yeah,
of the story and let me figure out how I feel about it. You know, so-and-so did this. Now, we don't know if that was the best idea. I didn't ask for your opinion on it.
Exactly.
You just tell me what they did. I can form my own opinion on what they did. So I think that the need for the WQLN, PBS, NPRs of the world will grow stronger,
yeah,
because at some point, everybody's getting to a point, I believe even right now, like, okay, can you just tell me what happened without telling me your two cents?
Yep, just facts. That's
just
all
give
I
it
need.
To us.
That's all I need.
I'm smart enough to figure out how I feel about it.
Yep.
That's all I want.
That's all I want in me.
That's all I want.
Yes. I mean, you know, it's especially as a person, in, you know, of a marginalized group, we've said the same thing about history for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you bring all of these groups of people in smoky rooms trying to figure out how to skew history. What history do you tell? What history do you not tell? How much of this history? This one gets a month, that one gets a month. Damn it.
Yep.
Can we just tell history how it happened in chronological order, regardless of what color who was, regardless of what gender did what, and let us figure out how we feel about it?
Let people sit in their feelings.
Right.
Like, I don't get it. Let people sink it in,
right,
sit in it, and really appreciate the fact that you're able to learn this.
Yes.
Because most people don't know,
no,
what happened, and they're very, you know, shut off to it because they weren't taught back then.
Yes.
Well, now we got all the information, so sit in it. Sit in it.
Right. Right. And I always say, listen, and history, and I bring up history because I think that this, you know, kind of falls into the category of public media.
Yeah.
History, I tell people all the time, if you aren't one that really sits down and reads and inspects history for yourself, one, I encourage you to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Two, here's what you will find. Nobody has the moral high ground or low ground if you really read history.
Yep.
There are no absolutes. There's no, the white man, it's not that simple. Well, black folks, it's not that simple. Men, women, immigrants, when you really dissect history, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That no one has the moral high ground here, ladies and gentlemen. There are certain narratives that play out clearly in history with different groups and different individuals. That is clear. But even during those dark periods of history, the rescuers,
yeah,
were this diverse group of people, right? And so let me get off my soapbox. But this is why I think the public media not only has a place in the public discourse, I actually think that its strength will grow,
yeah,
in time because of this. Plans for the holidays before we close out. What are you doing? What are you looking forward to?
Well, for me, being with family. As simple as that. Well, hopefully, we want to try to take a trip. We've never taken a family vacation. We're really hoping, and also to do home improvement, but we'll see how that goes.
That might be a long one.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we're hoping to just be with family for Christmas and have time off of work, which we're so appreciative that we have work, but we need to relax also. It's been a tough year trying to get together and actually enjoy our home and be able to just sit down and enjoy our girls because they're growing up so fast. So it almost brings a tear to my eye just how fast they're growing. But we're hoping to possibly get a dog. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Well, you know, you talk about not stereotyping people. I know a lot of times with the millennials and younger people in general, they don't want to work. They want everything handed to them. Like, you got Chantel and her husband are in college at the same time while they are taking care of a family. They both finished college. It sounds like they're going after it. You know, there are no absolutes, and so kudos to you and your family.
Thank you. And your husband. That generational wealth we're trying to bring onto our girls and break curses and all that.
That's right. And they actually leave a will and not a bill.
Yes,
too many people inheriting bills.
Oh, God, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. John, the goals for the holiday, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, God, I'm spending time with family like you are. That's really much it. I mean, I'll see my cousins, I'll see my aunts and my uncles for Christmas Eve. Have an Italian dinner, even though we're not Italian, which is really funny because we're feeding so many people. And then Christmas Day is just spending with family and enjoying the holidays.
All right.
That's it. And working, hopefully.
Well,
get work.
Marcus?
We're going to get caught up on some shows.
Yeah.
You know something for me? One, let me thank you two so much for all the work that you've done on Next 2.0. I'm having more fun doing this show than I ever have. It's taken us 7 years to get to this point. And I feel like we are just getting to the good part. And you all and Izzy are a huge part of why this thing is kicking off. And so thank you for that. What I'm looking forward to is, you know, this time of year, there's always meetings. There's a big annual thing I go to in New York City, which by the time this airs, I will have come back from, you know. And that's always a big thing for me and my family. And, you know, this year, my brother and I are going to a Steelers game on the 23rd. And, you know, get to hang out with my older brother, and that's always a good thing. He's a hard-working blue-collar guy, and it's always fun to see him unwind because he doesn't get a chance to play as hard as I do. And to see him get, you know, unplugged from the grind is always a good thing. And so, and spending time with family, like we all talked about,
it's just nice.
It's just nice, man.
It's just nice.
And listen, for a person like me that moves at 1,000 miles an hour to sit on the couch with a cerveza and a game, and the kids are hanging out with in-laws and everything, man, please, more of that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm looking for. But listen, thank you all so much for coming on, and thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. That's our show for today. Tune in next time for more discussion and analysis with local and national guests. Remember that Next 2.0 streams on Fridays on all major podcast platforms. And the fourth Sunday of the month at 4 p.m. on WQLN NPR 91.3 FM. I'm Marcus Atkinson. Come and join us again so that you hear about what's next for our communities and our democracies. To you all and your families, I say happy holidays and peace, love, and happiness to you all. See you next time.